In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord finds himself in the synagogue at Nazareth, his own hometown. He's just received the commission from his Father to begin his public ministry. And though he's already begun preaching the gospel in different parts of the Holy Land, he will always have a particular affection for the place of his childhood. It is there that he was raised, and it's there where the people know him best. At least they think they do. Of course, our Lord could never be accused of sin or even the slightest fault. But all the same, for the people of Nazareth, Jesus is simply the son of Mary and Joseph. There seems to be nothing particularly special about him. He's just another child grown up to practice his trade. With this mindset, we can begin to get a sense for why he is rejected by his own people. Who was he to preach to them? Who was he to claim divine authority? Who was he to claim to impart such wisdom? They took offense at him. Who are the people most easily offended by us? Normally those closest to us. And why is that? Because they know us, or at least they hope they know us better than anyone else. And so who are we to presume to impart the wisdom of God to them? Who are we to serve as evangelizers even in our own families and workplaces and communities? But who we are the sons and daughters of God, made so by our baptism and confirmation, and through that commissioned to preach the gospel to every creature, most especially to those closest to us. Oftentimes when we hear or think of evangelization or mission, we think of the people out there in some other country, some other community, somewhere else, anywhere but within the four walls of our own home. But if we cannot speak the truth in love, and more importantly, live the truth in love, right within our own families, how can we ever expect to be effective evangelizers for anyone else? Pope Benedict used to talk about how the church must first be evangelized herself before she can effectively evangelize the world. Many people, and rightfully so, talk about the church's mission ad extra, that is, her mission as a light to the nations, outward, bringing all peoples to Christ. But in order to do that, there must first be a mission ad intra, toward the inward. That is, we as Catholics must consistently return to the source of our mission through a committed life of prayer and active participation in the sacraments, especially regular confession and receiving Holy Communion. Probably the greatest challenge presented by our gospel today is this: what do we do when a loved one is not living in accord with the teaching of Christ and his church? Do we say something? How do we say it? Will they ever listen to us, or will they, like Jesus' loved ones in Nazareth, take offense? These are difficult questions, surely faced by many, if not most, Catholics. As ever, the first rule is charity. Our Christian love for our neighbor should imbue every decision that we make. At the same time, though, we must not be afraid to hand on that which we have received. And what have we received but the gift of eternal life through the faith of Jesus Christ? St. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe." And we must know our faith. Again, St. Paul says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Perhaps you have someone in your life who has not encountered the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you have Catholics in your family who live as though they were not. I'm sure you do. We all do. If the situation presents itself, offer to them the actual teaching of the church. Offer to introduce them to a real and living relationship with the Lord Jesus. Offer to bring them to confession, to Mass. If they refuse, give them time, serve as a Christian example to them, and most importantly, pray for them and for yourselves that you might be an effective instrument the Lord can use. We live in a time where Christianity is certainly not fashionable, it's not trendy, the culture definitely does not support us, but this cannot be a cause for despair. The apostles themselves faced an equally hostile culture as they planted the seeds of the church. They recognized that even with all of their efforts, it was ultimately God who was working in people's lives. As St. Paul wrote to the church of the Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So after you've presented Christ's teaching to your loved ones in charity, entrust them to the Lord and to his Blessed Mother. We may not see the fruits of our efforts, even in this life, but we trust that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.